Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. It is St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Irish. Hope you celebrate properly, and I know that you will. Want to apologize for the incorrect posting I did yesterday. Jimmy called me about 9:30 last night, and I immediately changed it to the correct posting. I want to talk, first of all, about what's going on in Ukraine with the Russian invasion. The Russians seem to be stalling a bit. I got that off of Citizens Free Press. Russian soldiers are almost mutinying, which I think is a good thing in the field. Jimmy, your comments, sir.
So from the beginning, I said they would have a tough time if they couldn't win very rapidly, if they couldn't overtake ground very rapidly, because I never believed the Russians could win this. But what specifically the Ukrainians have done very wisely is they pulled into urban areas and have built anti-armor, anti-tank, anti-personnel carrier ambushes and have had some sophisticated Western air defense systems that have reduced the capacity for the Russian air support. And they've shot down a number of Heinz helicopters, which is, you know, those are really important for ground support. But they put themselves into these very effective ambush situations where they've set up L-shaped or line ambushes along major artery routes with tanks and armor where the Russians would ingress. They'd hit the lead tanks or a couple of tanks in the middle, stall them, and the Russians would have to either withdraw or dismount before they could reach their objectives. And that has been incredibly effective in causing tremendous number of Russian casualties with small groups of Ukrainian special operations forces and infantry forces. The second thing that has happened very significantly yesterday is the airfield outside of Kiev that the Russians took on day one. They were staging their logistics and helo support, as well as some fast mover support out of that.
Did you got a phone ringing there?
Yeah. So the Ukrainians hit that airfield yesterday, the Russian support field, and it's been very devastating for their ability to sustain their operation.
Right.
It's putting the Russians into a real bind, especially as the casualties mount. And of course, we've seen the prisoners, we've seen the statement made in public that they don't understand why they're there. And of course, as the resistance gets stronger with Ukrainian forces, the Russians are going to have a much tougher time. They will not be able to sustain this for very much longer.
No, I agree. I agree with that. I have to say that I'm not surprised that so many of the Russians are, for lack of better terms, not following orders. Something else that I found really interesting that's starting to add fuel to our philosophy, Jim, the fire, the size of the fire of our philosophy. The New York Times came out, according to the other New York paper, and said they have now verified the Hunter laptop story. That's the Times.
Yeah, it's very interesting because the Times came out and discounted it, said it was propaganda, it was Russian misinformation, of course. Every other media outlet in October of 2020 said the same thing, following the Times lead. What that meant was Rudy Giuliani, when he released that in October, he was hoping for an October surprise, but of course the media suppressed it. That October surprise was crushed by misinformation and lying by media outlets. And now, I mean, the evidence has been so clear for those of us on this channel and, you know, many, many people that this was an incredibly corrupt and a very dangerous thing to have be out there for the Biden family, as well as indicating very, very specific corruption allegations and accusations
right.
That were basically verified. And by covering it up, the people on the left were able to continue to make an argument that Trump was the bad guy and that there's some Russian involvement in here. And it's pathetic that it's come out. New York Times has admitted it very subtly and deep into one of their articles. Of course, you know, it really changed, significantly changed probably one of the many things that changed the outcome of the 2020 election. Rudy Giuliani and the Republicans need to learn that October surprises don't work anymore. They're going to have to go much earlier and actually prove their statements pretty clearly before they come into the election season.
Right. Well, I tell you, I think all of this is going to bode very ill for the Dems in the election this year, and also in the big one in 24. There's no question about that, Jimmy. I really appreciate your taking some time from your second cross-country drive and doing this, and I know that our listeners also appreciate it. That's why I put your, that's why I'm giving you credit for everything that we're doing. Jimmy, anything else you want to bring up?
You know, I think you know, it's funny to look at some of the blog statements out there, and I just want to make sure that both John and some of the others know that I understand $31 trillion debt is absolutely devastating to this country and puts us in a very big risk.
Of course.
And of course, it's in conjunction with many other aspects. And the one thing that is bothering them more than anything else with a lot of the dialogue coming from conservatives and libertarians, they're very concerned about, you know, U.S. involvement in Ukraine.
Right.
And I am too. I very much don't want to have that fight. But this argument that somehow, you know, Russia and Vladimir Putin is the savior of the new world, you know, against the new world order, I think it's a complete misnomer. I agree this event is going to have a very significant effect on globalization and hopefully will reduce some of those relationships between authoritarian leaders and Western corporations. And so... ideally, it would take away globalization, but I don't think it's because it was Putin's objective. I think it was actually Putin wanted to control resources and land and other issues, and he was afraid of an expansion of democracy and transparency. But I think the long term, this is hopefully is going to wake people up that you continue to fund and resource authoritarian leaders. You're going to end up suffering in the long term. And that's what, you know, businesses in Russia are facing. And ideally, businesses in China will eventually face it. Some of them have.
Right.
And that's what we have to realize. And that's where we've got to push against that globalization. But that, at the same time, we can't have these, you know, great reset leaders from the West with Klaus Schwab and thinking they somehow know better control the world and the world economy and turn the rest of us into their serfs. And, I feel pretty strongly about that. And, of course, the debt issue is an important one as well.
The debt issue is absolutely, totally one of the most important issues on the table right now. Having said that, Jimmy, I want you to drive very carefully. I'm going to call you back about 3 o'clock this afternoon. If there's anything worth talking about, I certainly would like to do that with you. I've got a book club at 4 o'clock, as you know, so I'd like to get this done before 4. And then we have a St. Patrick's Day party where I'm going to stand up in front of the whole damn club and propose a toast to Irish Tony. Jimmy, thank you so much.
All right. You take care and happy St. Patty's Day to all.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.